Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Grim and Bloody Podcast. This show is a presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk.
Al Omega here from Creature Features, and of course I'm here with the Grim and Bloody Podcast, sans my other three lovely co-hosts, but I have two other lovely people here. Well, one's lovely, and the other one's lovely on his own way. You're special, Seward. And we're going to start talking to them, and so we have Stuart Spark, and you're the director?
Yes, director and co-writer.
Co-writer.
Yes.
And then we also have the lovely actress, Lindsay Crane.
Hello.
Hello. Trying to hold it back there, throttle down.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, of course, I have to ask, where are you from originally?
We're from York in the UK.
So York.
North of England.
Yeah. Yes, we know where that is. Yeah, nice. My assistant, who is not here with me, that's time, Brandon, is love to spend a lot of time over there. We're both of Scottish extraction, so
excellent.
He spent a lot of time over in London.
Okay.
So, my family comes from Lochbuie, which is supposed to be northwestern Scotland. I'm told. Right. I haven't got to go. I'm waiting to go. Land of the white people.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
Yes. You have what? A sun for summer lasts for what? 15 minutes over there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Scotland. We had one day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. So. And now you're here in the land of eternal sun for Florida.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, how's the storms? You probably haven't seen a good Florida hurricane yet.
Not yet. We almost came to Spooky Empire in 2016, but we didn't because of a hurricane. So we're finally here. No hurricanes so far.
Okay.
So
I'd love to hear your comparison. The North Atlantic Sea there compared to what we get down here.
Oh, it's nothing in England is close to what you've got here.
Oh, okay.
It's nothing.
Yeah, all the stuff in England's still standing, so.
Yeah, we get floods.
Yes.
Yeah, we get floods a lot, but that's just because they built the cities terribly.
Well, I mean, the Roman stuff still works, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were good programmers, designers, so. But speaking of designing, you've made a movie.
Yes.
So, tell us about your movie.
Yeah, we have a feature film called How to Kill Monsters, which is playing at Spooky Empire.
Yes.
Which is awesome. It's a horror comedy movie. God, and this is where my brain empties when I have to actually explain what it's about. It's a horror comedy movie about a girl called Jamie.
Played by
the lovely, talented, beautiful Lindsay Crane, who is arrested for... a mass murder at a remote cabin in the woods, something we've maybe heard before. She claims that a monster killed all her friends, but they don't believe her. They lock her up. And she kind of, when the monsters eventually do show up again at the police station, she has to team up with a band of rookie cops and prisoners to fight back against the forces of evil.
Of course.
So it's a very throwback, 80s inspired, practical effects driven creature feature.
So, why are the monsters evil? That's actually a valid question.
Why are
the monsters evil? Sometimes monsters are just pissed off because we screwed something there.
Yeah, you could say that in our movie. Maybe it's Lindsay's fault for, you know, screwing around.
Maybe not her fault, the friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, their fault.
Is there an Indian burial ground there, perhaps? Or
no, I mean, it's in England, so we don't have any of that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's true.
So.
You wouldn't. Okay, yeah, it's in England.
There's some eldritch artifacts that they mess around with that they shouldn't have.
Some blue people running around, maybe?
Blue people. I would say you could be right there that the monsters are in the right, actually. I think they all deserve to die, the human characters in our film. Definitely.
Fair enough.
She's so lovely about that. So, what monsters do you have? Are these like generic monsters, or is it like the Wolfman and the Mummy?
No, we tried to come up with our own kind of original creatures, kind of based around the classic archetypes from horror movies we loved watching when we were younger. Myself and Paul Butler, who's the co-writer, by the way. And we just sat down and went, what do we want to see? We love gremlins. We had to have some little critters in there.
Oh, yes.
So we got some little hand puppet monsters running around biting people's
ankles. I love that.
Yeah. All practical effect stuff. We've got kind of eldritch horrors in there. We got Cthulhu-esque big miniatures in the movie as well. We tried to go as Lovecraftian as possible. So there's loads. In fact, there's maybe too many tentacles in this film.
There can't be too many tentacles. Just ask the Japanese.
Yeah, people have told me, mate, Stuart, have you got some sort of kink going on? Because you always have tentacles in your movies attacking women. So I'm like, maybe, maybe. So
you prefer them to attack men?
Oh, men get attacked too.
Yeah, well, that's the next level up.
Yes. We don't discriminate. Everyone gets eaten in this movie, so, you know, it works out.
A tentacle in every pot.
Exactly. Yeah. So really, it's a good mix of monsters that I feel people will find very original, but they'll see shades of inspiration from stuff like The Thing, like Gremlins. There's a lot of Evil Dead 2 in this movie.
Ah, good.
It's very Raimi-esque.
Classic.
Yeah. Yes.
Raimi would be proud.
Yes. Yeah. Or someone described it as Brain Dead era Peter Jackson.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which I took as a really great compliment.
Yes.
Because I love that movie.
Most blood of any movie.
Yeah. The scene with the lawnmower where he walks in. That's one of my favorite moments.
The breakdancing on the gore. Yes.
Yeah.
A great classic movie there, often referred to as the goriest movie ever made. Which, you know, I always strike back at, in Evil Dead, there's a scene, Bruce Campbell talks about how they have like a bathtub of blood they're pouring on him. And so he's supposed to be up against a wall, but he's actually lying on his back.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, what should I do if I start to drown with all the blood pouring on my face? Just wave your arms around a lot. Well, that's what I'm doing anyway.
Weirdly enough, we had a very similar moment on set. Lindsay is lying on the floor getting blood poured on her. The signal was supposed to be, if you start choking and stuff, wave around. And she is supposed to be doing that anyway, so we didn't realize that she's choking on all this blood.
Yeah.
But it worked great for the movie, and you were a trooper
for
doing it.
I just kept going, because I knew if I stop the scene, we'd have to do it again. So I just thought, I'll keep
going.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it twice.
No, there was a lot of blood.
There's a science fiction movie called Fantastic Voyage. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've not seen that. I know of it.
Okay, and Raquel Welch is in it, of course, a lovely, curvaceous woman of her time. And there was a scene where they're in the human body and they're floating around as micro-sized people, and the white blood cells attack them, and so they've got to get back into the ship. And they comment about, they're constricting on her. And what people don't realize is that whatever they used, once it hit the air, it did start hardening and constricting her. And so the scene where they're ripping the stuff off of her off of her body was very real at that moment, because she was being suffocated by these things.
Yeah. Oh,
so
you can relate to that.
Yeah.
One.
Yes.
Many times in this film, actually.
Yes. Many times in the film, you say.
Yes.
There was a lot of, was there that much blood or just that much constriction?
Blood and tentacles wrapped around people and being eaten by monsters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The actors had a great time. He said with British sarcasm.
Yes. Dripping with sarcasm. But. So, where did the inspiration for this come?
Well, we did, Paul and I have made films for about 10 years. We have a production company in the UK called Dark Rift Horror, and our mandate, we could call it, is blood-soaked popcorn horror. So it's like, as long as the movie fits that theme, we make it. And we made a movie in 2018, which was actually a Spooky Empire then, called mm-hmm. Book of Monsters.
Oh!
Again, an 80s throwback. Lindsay played the lead character, Sophie, and she was playing an 18-year-old at that time, which was fun.
So you were playing the character.
Yeah. And it was about a girl whose mum leaves her a book of monsters. Very Buffy inspired, because love that kind of stuff. And that did really well. It struck a chord with the fan base and people like me who just love throwback horror movies that are just... And we kind of say it's like there's no politics, there's no hidden messages. It's like, what's the most entertaining, fun movie we could want to watch on a Saturday night? And that's what Book of Monsters was. And people really seem to like that. So How to Kill Monsters going in started as a sequel to Book of Monsters. It was going to be called Book of Monsters Volume 2. But then halfway through writing it, we were like, wow, this is really dependent on people having seen a very small indie film that not many people have seen. Let's just do something original. So we took all the best bits of it and made How to Kill Monsters. Going back to what we're talking about with the creatures, Evil Dead 2, Gremlins, Critters, Tremors, Jurassic
Tremors,
Park,
yes.
Aliens, all these movies that are my childhood are just imbued into this movie and inspired it. So it's almost like we tried to make a 80s, 90s Hollywood action horror movie on a very tiny budget. And I think, you know, because of everyone involved in it, had so much passion, you see past the low budget nature of the movie and the rubber monsters and the people in costumes, because people just on screen are having so much fun.
You know, a lot of even the big Hollywood starlets are saying, I'd rather do a low budget movie because it's real. Yeah.
Yes. It's not driven by a big corporation with a million people putting, you know,
it's not faceless. It's we're having fun. We're doing our best job, our best work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're trying to come up with interesting and exciting stuff.
It's not algorithm driven.
Yes.
It's just, what do we want to see? And me and Paul, we always describe it as, we're just two kids, like when I used to play with Star Wars action figures, it's just two kids going, yeah, and then this will happen. Yeah, but then the monster came and ate your guy. Well, I've got a, he comes and ran the dragon next. And that, it's just like we're little kids playing with toys.
Yes.
But, you know, what we found is people seem to enjoy that stuff that we're kind of coming up with. So we just have great fun making it. So that's kind of why it came about.
So what was your favorite part in this, besides choking or being violated by tentacles?
Do you know what? I think from working on Book of Monsters with the team, a lot of the similar cast came back for How to Kill Monsters. So what I loved was just everyone coming back together, because I think Dark Rift Horror is like, it's like a family, like the... just the way we all work together, and it's just lovely being on set. So I think that was what I was most looking forward to, was just working with the same team again. And it's just such a fun film. I don't want to obviously say any spoilers or anything like that, but even though there was a lot of blood, I'll take all the blood just to work on these films, because it's just so much fun, and hopefully you can see that on screen, and hopefully people have as much fun watching it as we did making it. It was just a blast.
It's like a family is what we say, because it's just like every few years
they hate each other and only show up for the meals occasionally
but this is like, you know, the meal every 5 years where all the aunts get together and stuff, but we all get along. We never really see each other outside of that, but it's like a big reunion. Everyone brings, you know, potluck, everyone brings the food, we have a great time,
blood and tentacles and so forth. Calamari is always fresh though.
Yes. Always.
So, what kind of hurdles did you have making this? Now, of course, this is off in England. I've never made a movie in England, so I don't know what kind of problems you have over there. I mean, what the structure for this is. What kind of budget? Let's try that. What kind of budget did you have?
So, it's a very low-budget film.
Yes, we figured that part out.
We actually crowdfunded a large portion of it on Kickstarter. So, Well, to go back a bit, a few people saw Book of Monsters, really liked it. People with money, lovely people, went, hey.
Yes, people with money are lovely.
They went, what are you making next? I'd love to help. And we went, oh, we're thinking of this. And they were like, well, how much money do you need? And we said, oh, around about this. And they went, okay. And we were like, oh, we could maybe make this film. So we had some great investors, Carl and Alex, who are our executive producers, basically made this film possible. And then we went to Kickstarter to kind of top that up so we could do all the practical effects. And then as part of that as well, we partnered with the Northern Film School in Leeds, which is near where we live in York. And again, one of the benefits of the pandemic, unfortunately, the pandemic was horrible, but COVID meant that the universities and the film school, the students weren't there.
Yeah.
I was working at the film school as part of my day job as a technician. And I kind of said, hey, can we just film here and use the studios and use the facilities? So really, we've made a very low budget movie feel much higher in budget. And a lot of the credit goes to the students. We had a lot of students working on this film as part of work experience, but their level
free labor.
Well, their level of training is like insanely high. They were doing stuff on set that I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. And I felt like quite overwhelmed and like nervous to be directing these people, because I never had a formal kind of film school education. Mm-hmm. I just kind of learned me and Lindsay went to university together actually way back in 2010. And it wasn't a film school degree. We were just given a camera and told to go film something. But these guys know what they're doing. So like Hamish, our cinematographer, went through 3 years of this on a bachelor's degree. And he came in and made it look like it cost, you know, millions, when it definitely cost under $1 million. So it's that really helped kind of get it off the ground. But it really was a perfect storm of finding these collaborators who were willing to work for very little, just because we all shared this passion. The COVID situation, where we had the equipment and the studios available, that all just came together at the right time.
Cool. I've heard this from other people that COVID has presented them with opportunities.
Yeah.
One filmmaker made the comment that none of us did. What we should have done is gone out when COVID first hit and the lockdown happened, go out to those really crowded areas and film how empty it was.
Some friends of ours made a film during the pandemic and they did just that. I mean, a post-apocalyptic movie called Among the Living, which is really good. I think it's out on Dredd's label at the moment. But they went around Leeds and just filmed the empty streets. And you're like, you could never get that any other time.
Yeah.
So they took advantage of that. We didn't. But our film's mostly set in studios. We built a lot of sets.
Oh.
Because it's set mostly, most of the movie's set in a police station. And we didn't really have a good police station nearby that we could just use with cells. So we built the prison cells and all of that.
There aren't enough police stations in York to use.
Well, that would let us film a silly horror movie in. a gory horror movie. Yeah.
Did you see a drop in crime because of COVID? I mean, people aren't going out and getting...
Maybe.
Beating each other up in pubs and so forth. And
I didn't really look into it, to be honest.
That might have been an issue. Maybe the next movie. There's a sickness comes out and no one's committing crime anymore.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
We need to get the crime up again.
Yes. that's it. Alcohol kills the virus. So everyone really, really needs to get down to the pub and have a good one.
Did you see a movie called Grabbers?
Yes!
I was thinking of that, yeah. Where there's like, they have to be drunk.
How will we get them all down there? Free beer! Yes!
I love that movie.
Yes.
So much fun.
It is a great movie. That and... going a slightly different area. Cockney versus Zombies.
Yes, that's a fun one.
Yes, as an older person, I appreciated that one very much. So, as my associate who went to the Southeast Asia War Games, as he likes to say, you know, he's a grumpy old Scotsman and went to Vietnam, and he's not going to let anyone stop him from doing anything he wants. So, I fully expect to see him with a 50 cal in a wheelchair someday when the zombie apocalypse hits.
Yeah.
So we'll be rolling him out.
I apologize.
Well, your movie's not that bad. I wouldn't apologize for it yet.
Though you made me cough again.
Well, you know, you may make a few people gag with this, especially with depending on the tentacles and the blood, where it's all going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I have a terrible, terrible mind, so...
It's not, I'd say, yeah, people have described our films as kind of like Amblin horror. So it's not it's not family horror at all. It's very much 18 rated, but it's like my mum would watch it and she wouldn't be completely offended by it. But she's still a bit like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
So it's almost borderline, it's not trauma, but it's not Spielberg.
What is?
It's not a Spielberg family movie, but it's not trauma. It's somewhere in the middle of those
okay.
two. So we've got a weird balance there, yeah.
I think any good horror movie has a weird balance.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. Especially when it comes to British humor as well, because we find things funny that no one else really does.
British do humor so much better than Americans. I mean, we grew up on Python and Red Dwarf. And
Red Dwarf's great,
the two Ronnies.
Yeah.
Ernie and Ernie. And, of course, the Goodies.
Yeah.
So, you can't find any of the old Ernie and Ernie episodes, even on YouTube. So, they need to put that up there somewhere for those of us who want to see two middle-aged men in lingerie doing Hey Big Spender. I miss that show. And then you have the two Ronnies. It's Good Night From Me and It's Good Night From Him.
That's a classic, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, all right. So, how did you get into acting now? We've talked to him on. I want to hear more from you.
Yeah, so...
you don't want to know what she's been doing all this time, by the way.
Like, as Stuart said, so we went to university together and we did a film production course. But I'd always wanted to act, but I wasn't sure how to get into it and things like that. So I went and did the film production course, and then kind of halfway through the course, everyone was making their films. And I thought, maybe I'll act in the film. So then by the time we got to our like graduation films, I was in most of the films. And that's when I kind of realized I want to act. I want to be in front of the camera rather than behind.
So when you're not here on doing audio, you're a ham, is what you're saying. Yes. Ham, an actor that does lots of work and sometimes go over the top a bit. And yes.
Oh.
Acting!
Acting!
Acting! Yes.
But yeah, so that's... Yeah. And I mean, when I was a kid, I used to always... I did a lot of theatre and used to... I remember watching movies and thinking, I really want to do that. And then we just started working together. And in York, even though it's a very small city, it's got quite a big film community.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I kind of just started working with a lot of people and just went from there, really. So, so yeah, I've kind of done a lot of horror movies, which is ironic because I was never a horror fan. So I was always scared of like every horror movie.
But you need somebody who's scared in the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of works. But now you've kind of show me more horror movies, so I'm a bit more, I can watch them now that I know how they're made. So if I watch a film and someone gets covered with blood, I'm like, oh, I know how you feel. I can really empathize with them. So
that's a show where Ghoulies, talking about little rubber
yeah
monsters.
I haven't shown you Ghoulies
so yeah, I can watch a lot more horror movies now now that I've been in them, so
good. So What other movies have you been that you would like to other people to know about? Is this something you've done, not with him, I don't want to hear what you've done with him, but something you've done that you know, that stands out in your memory that is a really good thing?
Yes, yeah, so I've done, so obviously Book of Monsters, which you mentioned, but I've done two other movies that I've one called Zomblocalypse, which is a...
Zomblocalypse, yes.
So it's like a zombie movie set.
Would never have guessed.
During the zombie apocalypse. So basically it's around three guys who decide to make a movie about the zombie apocalypse during the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
And I play like a uber fan of theirs because they're like live stream and things like that. It's a pretty bizarre film, but it's a lot of fun, really wacky, very, very British. That was a lot of fun to do. I did another one called Eating Miss Campbell, which was with Liam Regan, who's a brilliant director. And I play a goth vegan cannibal. Yeah.
So you only eat vegetarians?
Yeah.
It's a trauma movie, by the way.
It's a trauma
movie.
Okay, that explains that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a crazy film. It was a lot of fun. My character breaks the fourth wall. So she's trying to get out of being in a horror movie. It's, again, really wacky. It's kind of funny because my character's the most grounded in the film, despite the fact that she is a cannibal. Like, all the characters are, like, cartoon characters. So it's a pretty wild film. But that was a lot of fun. Again, just very gory. I mean, one day I'll do a non-horror film, maybe.
Someday they'll call me Mr. Tim.
I did a film last year. I think it was last year. That, again, was a kind of it was more horror drama, and I did the whole film. There was no blood, and that was great. The whole
horror
film,
movie
no,
without any
yeah,
blood.
It was a ghost movie, so I was a paranormal investigator, and that was a fantastic film to work on. It was my part character was set in the 70s, so it was like a period piece as well. The guys that we worked with on that are brilliant. So yeah, that was a lot of fun to do, and it was really nice to just be dry through the whole film.
Be dry,
yeah,
yes.
Not covered in crusty
muck.
Blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it does. It pulls on the hair.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. It's you know, once it's thrown on you, yeah, it's damp and horrible for a while, but then it gets really crusty. Yeah, it's got to be there for so long. And I think particularly on How to Kill Monsters, they get these things out, what they like to call the blood cannons.
Yes.
Yeah, where they...
The chum bucketeers, as we like
yeah,
to call them.
And you know, you're kind of bracing yourself to get covered in blood, and then it's when you finish the scene, you look in the mirror and you see how much blood you're covered in, realizing for continuity, you're going to have to reapply that much blood every single day for the rest of the shoot. So I think our shoot was it 43 days?
Wow. In the end. It ended up being that, yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating when I say I only spent three of those days with no blood on.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It gives me an idea for your next movie. You know, you could have like a zombie beautician there using blood instead of wax for girls coming in getting a wax done.
Let's do it.
Yes.
You're in.
snap. That could be very, very interesting.
It could be interesting.
It's bio-organic. It's recycling. We use your own blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, there we go.
Yeah.
Eco-friendly horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies, the ultimate recycling.
Mm. Yeah.
So. Well, where can people find you and your lovely movie? So let's start with the movie first. Where can we find your movie other than right here? Is it online anywhere?
Not yet. So we're currently negotiating for distribution now. So hopefully I'll have some good news soon.
Yes.
It'll be on streaming. We did a Kickstarter. So a part of that is... Dark Rift Horror, our company, will be holding on to the physical media rights. We also have a distribution company as well, which is called Dark Rift Releasing. We're so creative in that way.
Yes.
But we put out Zomblogalypse, which Lindsay's in, and Book of Monsters, and House of Kill Monsters will be coming out on that. So our Kickstarter backers will be the first to get the Blu-ray release, which will be just packed with, honestly, the behind the scenes. We had someone filming constantly. Lindsay's actually been editing the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think we're only like 13 days in and it's already like an hour long
documentary
without spoilers because we edited them out.
Yeah, trying to do a spoiler-free version of each day. And it's so difficult to edit round. But yeah, there's just so much footage because as Stuart said, there was just somebody constantly with a camera throughout the whole day, which is great to, you know, to kind of relive, but there's just so much footage to go through.
But you can follow the film on all the major social medias. It'll just be How to Kill Monsters.
Okay. And where can we find you?
Me, I'm Stuart Spark. Stuart with an EW. Spark with an E on the end.
Yes.
Because everyone gets it wrong. I'm Stuart Sparkle in so many film festival programs.
Sparkle.
Yeah. find me on all social media. And Dark Rift Horror as well is just at Dark Rift Horror everywhere.
And where can we find you, young lady?
Yeah, so Instagram and Twitter, I'm just at Lindsay Crane, which again, Lindsay with a Y and an E, and Crane with an I, just to complicate it even more. But yeah, just at Lindsay Crane on Twitter and Instagram.
An eye joke.
An eye joke.
Okay. yes. There we go.
Took me a while.
Took you a little bit there. But all right. So that's how we find them. We're so glad we found you and got to have you here on the show with us. Thank you for making the time. Sorry we ran a little late there before. But once again, thank you all for being on the Grim and Bloody podcast. And we look forward to seeing your next movie out.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Lovely.
Good chat, yeah.